So two on the drive, or known today and way too often as Kingsaholics Anonymous, room 1140, welcome. First names only, remember, guys, we have donuts and coffee in the corner. Mm-hmm. Just say who you are, first name, last initial, and the fact that you're a Kingsaholic. Because it really is, isn't it really kind of like sometimes feel like, I've never had a bad drug addiction unless you count nicotine, but it really is kind of like a bad addiction. It might be better for
I would count nicotine.
No, right. I think so.
You can relate, I think.
Yeah, you know it's bad for you. You know it's bad for you, and sometimes you think about quitting, but then usually while you're thinking about quitting, you chain smoke about 7.
Yeah.
Because you're deep in thought.
Like it doesn't
because you're deep in thought.
It doesn't even make you feel good anymore, but like you still keep coming back just hoping that you'll be able to recapture that feeling of that first time.
Yeah. You fool yourself. You're like, well, I smoke ultralights. Those are the healthy ones. It's not that bad.
American spirits, they're all natural.
Yeah. But meanwhile, guess what? It's ash in your lungs. It's bad. And I feel that way about this team sometimes. What's
they're
the movie?
Ash in our lungs.
Yes. Where the guy's like,
Dante's Peak.
No. He's like, just when I leave you, pull me back in. Or whatever. It's old. I thought it was a mafia movie or something.
Casablanca.
Yeah, probably
classic
not.
Line.
It's like just when I get pulled back in with this team, then they just do something. It's the opposite of when in Dumb and Dumber, where you said you do this and you totally redeem yourself. No, they totally unredeem themselves and have some stupid-ass loss we'll get to today. And Darren Collison will join us at 8:30. We'll ask about him. I'm trying to wonder, guys, I'm such a coward when it comes to this stuff. I really want to ask him about that foul last night and whether or not he flopped. But then I feel like he can't really answer that because that's a fine.
I'm wondering which one. I must have missed it.
I forget who it was. It was towards the end of the game. It was Goran Dragic. It was. You're absolutely right,
Dragic,
Matt George.
Dragic, yeah.
And Dragic comes down and, like, he made contact with Darren's face. Like, he did. That's legit. But, like, he makes contact and then there's, like, a couple of beats. And then Darren does the snap back head, like fall
gotta
off the
sell
ground.
It. Yeah.
Wait, was that at the rim later on in the game?
Yes.
I think that was Tyler Johnson on a breakaway.
Was it Tyler Johnson? Because I thought.
On a breakaway? Because there was one play where he got stuffed at the rim by Tyler Johnson, and it was fantastic defense.
I remember that play. And though
not
that
the
was,
same
it
one.
Was not okay. I think it was Dragic going in.
Yeah, Dragic was given the technical after a review that took 20 minutes.
Why are you
laughing?
Because it always makes me laugh when you say Goran Dragic's name.
I thought it was pronounced Dragic. I've heard it pronounced that way. It's not like I just made it up.
It's not.
You've gotten pronunciations wrong before, though.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Your credit is
fair
to middling with me.
The funny thing is, though, is that when I say it wrong, I know I say it wrong. But I know this because he was in Phoenix forever while I was there. It's Dragic.
We should have asked him. Maybe he pronounces it different than his brother. Maybe it's a family thing. They disagree.
Does your sister pronounce her last name different?
Yes. As a matter of fact, she does. Not.
Carmichael?
I don't even think she
Carmichael?
Goes by Carmichael.
Yeah. Right. That's my first name, stupid.
Yeah, but like Doug Christie
family.
Called you that forever.
Yeah.
Does he still call you Carmichael?
Sometimes. I saw him at the game last weekend.
Yeah.
And I came up from behind him and did one of those like bear hug things because they had my neighbor on last week and Doug asked her about how I deal with my trash cans.
No way. Did they really have your neighbor on?
They didn't like book her.
Yeah.
She called in. Yeah,
though.
She's a super fan.
Oh.
A super fan. And a total sweet. Like,
yeah, she is sweet.
She is a sweetheart. Like, she's one of those ones, she knows, like, my kids' birthdays.
Aww.
So every single, like, birthday, holiday, whatever, there's always a little package.
Oh, that's sweet.
She is an absolute sweetheart. But she called in. And, you know, she identified herself as my neighbor. And then, that was Doug's thing. He was like, what does Dave do with his garbage? And you know what? And I'm that guy that'll leave my garbage cans down on the curb, like, all week. I don't care. My wife always gets home. Speaking of, before we get into the meat of the show, because this is the dumb part of the show.
Did you say dumb or fun?
Yes. So I'm going to try to put this out there, and there's really no way for me to put it out there without sounding assy. But it's just something that happened. So my wife and I have this ongoing thing about cleaning.
Oh, I thought it was the story you told us before the show.
Ew.
No, nope, can't tell that one.
As in, who does it?
I was going to say, who Dave, does just it? Eat a banana.
Who does it? And out of context, that's funny. And who does it when it's done all that? And my wife works her ass off. She really does. And then we get in the hole where she's like, well, I work, I leave at 6 and I get home at, 6 or 5:30, and you work 3 hours a day, which is always a giant fight for us.
Right.
So about 6 months ago, I made the decision for us to get a maid to come twice a month. That's the douchey part. Like, who gets a maid, right? I get that. But she comes twice a month for 3 hours.
I've got one coming tomorrow.
Okay, right? Finally. See? Yeah. I mean, she's not expensive. She was our daycare lady recommended her. It's like her sister's brother's sister-in-law.
What's her first name? Can you tell us?
Yeah, I can. Her first name is Amber. I could say.
Okay. That. Okay.
So, does a really good job. So I get a text from her, though. I get a text from her last night, and I haven't texted her back yet because I don't know how to handle this, and I don't know how I feel about it. Let me find it here while we all wait, because I don't know how to search my texts. Here we go. Hi, Dave. I'm texting because I'm going to have to stop service at your place.
Oh.
I need to have my clients be consistent, and we haven't been able to make that work. It's very important that I have consistency in my schedule.
Yeah.
I'll be doing a client's place close to your house tomorrow. I'll drop your key off. Thanks so much. Take care. Right. We got fired
by our maid.
I know, what do I do?
What is wrong with you?
I'm not shocked.
Is it about just like you didn't have a set time and day for her to come every?
She used to come on Mondays. But then, like, with the holidays and everything, like, we're gone or this or that. And there would be some times where, like, I'd call her and I'd be like, yeah, don't really need it this week because, we keep the house clean. So, right. I don't want to pay her to do nothing.
I understand where she's coming from.
One time, because she stays for 3 hours. One time, it was before I gave her a key. That's why she has a key. I was, like, a half hour late. So she was there. Now, she's getting paid.
That's so still inconsiderate.
Right, but so, like, I told her, I called her, and I said, hey, I'll just pay you for the day. And it always stuck with me because she wasn't like, oh, okay, I'll stick around or I'll wait for you to get there. She's like, okay, and then she went to her next job. And I'm like, well, if I'm paying you for the day, then shouldn't you? I mean, you're getting paid to sit in my driveway. Like, that's a good job.
Super inconsiderate.
Well, I it was forgetful. But if you're being paid, she's not. She could be sitting in my driveway listening to music and reading a book. What is that? Is that you? That's better than working. But anyways, and then there were some times where, like, I'd always give her, like, she had the regular stuff to do, and then I'd be like, oh, and hey, here's some other special projects for this week. And so there was probably, 6 or 7 times where she'd come from noon to 3 where she'd leave at like 2:15. She'd just be like, and she'd text me, she'd be like, I finished. And she'd finish all the stuff. But it always kind of bothered me too, where I was like, well, why wouldn't you, I'm upstairs. Why wouldn't you knock or yell and say, is there anything else I can do? She just left 45 minutes early. Like, I finished. I always felt like that was wrong. But I'm also trying to.
I'm not familiar enough with, like, the
maid protocol.
Yeah,
I'm not either. I feel like I got dumped, and I'm like, well, her leg was kind of fat. I was in love with her, and now I'm making up excuses. So I don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do?
Well,
you're gonna have to go for a maid service, someone that you can just call them and be like, hey, I need someone to come out. Because I understand for her. If it's somebody that's
some
doing
consistency.
It.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's someone that's doing it.
It's not you, it's me.
Yes.
And doesn't work for a business. They have their own business.
Yeah, she's her own thing.
Yeah, like, I understand it. You need to just go with a maid service that you can call when you need it.
But here's the other thing.
And then it won't hurt your feelings when they dump you.
There was no warning. There was no warning.
No. There was no, like, talk like some things need to change.
Right. Even a John Deere letter.
Thank you. There was no conversation of like, hey, listen, just so you know, like, I do this, and I schedule everything out. If I'm not doing your house, that's another house I could be doing. We got to have some consistency. don't you think you should have like a warning?
I think that was her way of being like, it's not you, it's me.
But then why wouldn't she?
I don't think she wants to clean your house. So she's just like, hey, I need some consistency.
I thought about this. Like, I thought about it. And I was like, well, because I think anybody who does that, who has a maid come over, they're going to be a little bit, if they're self-aware at all, they're going to be a little bit nervous. Like, there's certain things she's not allowed, like, the wife will not let her do. Like, she's not allowed to touch laundry because she doesn't want her handling her underwear, that type of stuff. Like, there's just certain things. Mm-hmm. But you always worry about, like, is my house super gross? And, like, is this?
Yes.
But I've talked to her about it, and she's going to say, oh, yeah, your house is gross. But, like, she does, like, frat houses.
Right, like where do you rank on the scale?
I think for, like, on a scale of 1 to Katie, like, my house is definitely dirty.
That's like a woman saying, does my butt look big in this dress?
What?
Like, is my house as bad as maybe a frat house?
But it's not.
It is.
My house is as bad as a frat house?
No, but I'm saying you asking her, like, how bad your house is in comparison.
That.
Yeah, you're putting her on the spot.
Honest to God, you probably
made her feel really uncomfortable all the time, and that's why she's like...
Dude, you do a good job in sports. You slap someone on the ass and say, good job. Why is that weird? All right, so... I don't know how to deal with that. Kings and Heat, they also got fired last night by the winning gods in front of the home crowd. We'll get into that next. Darren Collison at 8:30, and we will talk not only NFL playoffs at 7:30, but I don't want to do the hokey let's give out our season awards thing because that's hokey sports radio, but let's give out our season awards around 7:30. So we'll do that on the drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, time for the morning brew. As we do every single morning right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Hey, Matt. I can't find the sound. They made the folder go away.
I can't find the sound.
I can't. Matt. The little stuff that we play. We
the
have
sound.
I have the
hey,
dry,
Matt, the sound's not attached to my shoulders. Yeah, I can't find it.
It's like hidden. You guys don't know that somebody changed this computer around.
While you were on.
While I was gone. And all the different sounds, you know, we have stuff for, like, what I pull for the drive for our show. We have King's audio. We have all that stuff. Now, Matt's probably going to come in here and he's like, press one button. It's right there.
It's so funny, though, because this is the third day back from your vacation.
The one day it worked just fine. The other one, what'd you pull my rundown for?
Wait, what day?
What'd I do?
It's Thursday. Okay.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, see, third day.
But hey, Matt's sitting right next to me right now, right? It's not on the thing anymore, right?
Well, I mean, you can just make a desktop.
No, but it used to be the icon. The icon used to be right there.
Now.
It used to be right there, and somebody moved it while we're gone. What?
But it's still in the daily audio folder, which we've had.
Put it back on the tracks, Dan.
Can we put it back on the desktop? I'm just saying. Jeez.
All right,
here we go. Thank you. Is that my rundown? Thanks, Matt. First down.
May we.
First down or first morning brew?
I don't care. Don't move.
It's a disaster.
Well, you're right. It's the wrong one.
All right, so that's first down.
That is first down.
Here's morning brew.
Matt just fell to his knees in the sand.
I don't even have a reaction now because I was such a just an absolute unmitigated train wreck.
You know,
we'll fix it in post.
It's funny. This morning we're standing outside and Nate goes, "I really like that Tyler Johnson kid." I'm like, "You should because he plays really well against the Kings every time." But watch another game. Watch him play against a different team. I think I like him. He's good young talent, but he plays out of his mind against the Kings.
Didn't we sign Simbular instead of him?
Simbular.
That's what I said.
Is that what happened there?
I don't remember.
I thought Tyler Johnson was. Why do I remember a story of Tyler Johnson being in camp or something, and Simbular got the nod? Which, by the way, where the hell is Simbular?
That's a good question. I just started thinking the same thing.
I think he's in India.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that he was such a can for the Kings, like I should love James Johnson because he's so like lousy. Right, like he's got that kind of Rasheed Wallace dad bod little bit, and he just kind of goes out there. And I mean, I don't get it. Like, I don't get how he ends up. He was so bad in Sacramento, and he just he torches the Kings. And
couldn't you say that? You could literally say that about 57 players in the NBA.
Well, there's a and to be fair, I'm sure that a lot of teams can say there's so much to get into for this game, which, guess what? We have lots of time left.
Yeah, we
so
do.
We will.
Hey, no audio here. Just go ahead, Katie.
Well, Russell Westbrook last night going into a timeout goes to toss the ball to an official, hits him in the head, ends up getting a technical for it. I'm sure you guys saw the video of it. It looked like an accident to me, but I can understand why the technical was called.
Lighten up, Mr. Referee Man.
I don't know. Like I saw it too. I know that there had been a couple of plays that were questionable as far as what with Russell Westbrook, a couple of calls he didn't like. So there was some context to it. But he's not going to throw the ball at the ref's head.
It wasn't even in response to something. It was just a timeout. It was, you know, 20 feet away. He's kind of tossing the ball to the official.
I mean,
they lost, so they weren't having a good game anyway.
There's dumb crap that athletes do that just, like, it's not malicious, but, you know, is it really so hard to just make sure that the official's paying attention?
Well, accordingly.
And it's like when they get to the scorers table and they just dump their warm-ups there. Like, why don't you just take the crap off before
by the bench?
Yeah.
Well, because most, I think.
Because you don't have to, why.
No, you don't take it off before because as soon as you get your number called, you have to run to the scorers table just in case so you can get in the game if there's a situation.
I get it, Katie. It takes 2 seconds to take a shirt off.
No, not necessarily. Okay. Some of these guys have on warm-up pants and
prove the tearaways.
Anyway.
No, I mean, I'm not, like, mad about it. I'm just saying it's just a weird thing. I mean, just pay attention to the guy, Russ. Come on.
It looked like he saw the ref, and the ref was looking at it. He said he yelled, like, he was like, hey, I don't know what the ref's name was, Bob. And then the dude, like, looked away after the ball. And here's the big thing. You can see with Russ, like, the camera that was on him, as soon as the ball hits the ref, he's like, oh, my, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, when you drop something
it's
on
like
the floor.
As soon as he threw it, you could kind of see him getting panicked because he realized that the official was not looking and it was going straight for his head.
I bet you that tech gets rescinded. I'm just saying, I bet that tech gets rescinded. Because the ref that got hit in the face didn't call the technical either. It was another ref. On behalf of the ref who had a concussion, probably. <Yeah.
laughs> Got to get a kick out of Connor Cook using the terms, let it all hang out and work my butt off, like right after
one
another.
I know.
Butts are going to be hanging out in Houston this weekend. Lamar Miller's back with the Texans, so watch out, Raiders. Connor Cook's going to get the start, obviously, for Oakland.
Yeah, Connor Cook gets the start. That's a big, giant deal for the Raiders. We talked a bit about that yesterday, and Jack Del Rio didn't have a problem making the decision.
I feel fine.
Yeah, Matt feels okay.
Good.
You didn't feel fine when you came in here and yelled at me.
I didn't yell at you. It was just stern language.
Gave me a look.
Stern language.
All right, so, yeah, Raiders, Connor Cook. Lamar Miller makes Houston a better team, obviously, if he's very healthy. And
yeah,
that's
their running game. He's missed a couple weeks, and he's going to be fresh.
Yes, he will be fresh.
Fresh legs.
It's three things in morning brew here, but we do have to talk about this. Clemson linebacker Ben Boulware talked yesterday about his teammate Christian Wilkins and what he did to Ohio State wide receiver Curtis Samuel last week. And now if you remember this play, and if you don't, this will remind you. In the first half of the blowout win, Wilkins, well, he stuck his hand between Samuel's legs while Samuel was face down on the ground, and he had himself a little poke.
It wasn't even a poke. It was a feel.
He might have fish hooked him.
It was cupping. There was cupping involved.
It looked like an oil check.
There you go. That's the term I'm
looking
for.
Okay. And his teammate Ben Boulware kind of came to his defense.
Okay. That's going to be the last time that the SIDs let him on a microphone.
Probably.
Probably not, though. That is gold right there.
I mean, this is a fun.
Now you're going to call me a sexual predator because I go around poking people in the butt.
It sounds so bad.
It fits the profile.
But like,
things that go on in locker rooms, though, men and women, like, that is nothing.
Well, wait, hold on.
You've never experienced hazing before or anything, though.
That's true. You said
that's not hazing.
Being poked in the butt.
Willfully playful.
I mean, it does happen. Like, everybody does weird things.
So is it like hazing when I go around and I like pinch my nephew's butt? Is that hazing?
Yeah, you're hazing. You tell me.
Sounds like assault to me.
Sounds like assault.
You didn't have a very exciting locker room culture ever.
Ever.
No, I said we didn't have any hazing.
this is where I'm supposed to jump in. I just don't want to. I just want the two of you to go at it. I just want it to be uncomfortable and weird.
There's stuff that goes on in locker rooms. Like you're around each other all the time. You mess around with each other.
It's not just locker rooms
either. We used to take the wrap that you put on before you tape your feet, that kind of like foamy wrap. We used to take that and like bounce it off of each other, like from across the room, like see if we could nail people like right in the chest. Like it's silly stuff.
I think we'll.
And now, granted, I've never been poked. There's never been any poking.
Hey, 627, Matt, write that down, please. That's a promo. We'll take a break. I think this is going to come back up during the show.
I know, fella.
Yesterday, we kind of had a theme to the show. I have a feeling the butt poking is going to be a minor theme to this show because I think there's more to this than just the surface conversation where you get into. We'll get into that, no pun intended. We'll also talk about. the disaster of the game last night, Kings versus Heat. Let's talk about that next. Don't go away on the Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Kings lose last night, 107-102. That's so gross. That's all I can say is it was gross.
You know, I might be kind of in denial or something like that, or just delirious, but I'm actually not that upset about last night.
Why?
Well, I mean, the Heat stink, right? And that's a bad loss. You should beat them at home. But the Heat had a night. Like, that's kind of... They had lost six in a row. They were absolutely
due.
They
were 1-9 in the 10 games coming in. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah. It seemed like for... I don't know what the shooting numbers were after three quarters, but I know they were shooting darn near 60% at halftime, and it was pretty much the same at the end of the third quarter. And it's not like all of those shots were wide open. They kind of got in one of those things where it seemed like they were making everything, and then, you know, the Kings aren't exactly a good defensive team as it is.
Really, I mean, I have the stats, so I can tell you. And it's crazy when you what a game feels like, and then you see the numbers. They shot on the night 48.6%.
Okay, let's run through this. You have the stats, Katie. Yeah. They shot 48%,
but
right?
But after three quarters, 49%.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
It was at halftime where they were over 60% and they were really lighting it up. And it was. They were shooting very well.
They shot 48%. On the season, they shoot 44%. What did they shoot from three, Katie?
On the night?
Yeah.
43%.
They shoot 34% on average. How many threes did they make?
12.
12. They make eight, well, almost nine, 8.7.
This is not surprising. because it's a bad team that had a night. This is an area also with the Kings where they're perpetually giving up three-point shots. Like, really, that is an area that has been a weakness for them. And it feels like for a few years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, since I've been back.
Yeah, you've had a few years, which means you had, I think if you count Dave Yeager, 17 coaches in 4 years.
17.
That's an approximate number.
Yeah.
And pretty much an entirely, and this is going to lead towards DeMarcus Cousins, I already know where this is going, but you've had, to be fair, you've had a ton of new coaches, and you've had almost complete roster upheaval. With the exception of DeMarcus. And they still can't do simple things or won't do simple things like
if Luke Babbitt is behind the three-point line, maybe don't sag off of him for 10 feet.
He's going to shoot the three.
That's all he can do. It's like if a guy has a freaking a gun. I don't know what analogy I'm going to do.
He could use it. Is the point?
This is
right.
You
use a tissue if you're not going to blow your nose.
Thank you.
This is what I liked about post game. It's always tough to go into a locker room after a loss like that, and I would say this is probably their worst loss of the season. And I might be wrong because I might be able to go back over the past 34 games.
The Lakers one at home was a really tough loss, but a lot of that was because of the rivalry and it's at home. I think considering where they are, people talking 8 seed, you're starting a road or home stand.
LA was healthy. Like this team is depleted, right? They've got guys that are playing.
And they're on a back-to-back.
Yeah, they're on a back-to-back. There's a lot of things that went wrong in this game. So I asked the question, you know, kind of what happened in the first half? What did you guys see? I talked to Aaron Aflalo, Ty Lawson, and Garrett Temple last night in the locker room. You know, the question of did you respect this team coming in? I want guys to be able to say, hey, we did not come into this game in the right frame of mind. That is why we didn't start well. Like, there's a number of things. Three different people said three different things. But it was Garrett Temple that I appreciated the most because everyone looks at it differently. Garrett Temple hit the hammer on the head. Do you have that?
Do I have it? Garrett Temple? Yeah. No, got Lawson, Yeager, and a Aflalo.
Okay, so this is what, you know, Ty's like, yeah, we didn't start well. Aaron, you know, we didn't start well, but it's not like we weren't, you know, ready. It's just one of those games. You know, they all had something different to say. Garrett Temple flat out said, we did not respect this team coming into this game. Yeah. We didn't respect them. That is why the first half was so bad. That is why we got down by 19. We didn't respect them, and that is not okay. I appreciate a guy saying that and being honest because that's exactly what it looked like. Because as a team, right, you know, coming into a homestand, it's always tough coming into a homestand after being on the road forever. And they were. 13 of their last 18 games were on the road. It's dangerous coming home because you relax and you think, oh, it's going to be a little bit easier. You also look at the fact that it's Miami. On second night of a back-to-back, they have 10 wins.
And the upcoming schedule, too. It's like, oh, thank God, Miami tonight.
Yeah, this is the easiest one of this homestand, of the seven-game homestand. And you look at all the injuries they have. We're going to be fine. They did not start that game in the right frame of mind. I appreciate Garrett Temple saying, we flat out did not respect them.
You can see it in those like split second mental lapses defensively that turn into oh shoot rotations where suddenly there's a guy wide open beyond the arc and he gets the ball. And that's when you see the defender that's completely on the other side of the court going, oh no, that's supposed to be me. Mm-hmm. And they break. And before you know it, like, you don't even get a hand in the guy's face because he's wide open. Snap of a finger of a brain fart defensively and you give up an open three and that's the story of 20 losses this season.
I appreciate this bench unit though, the second unit for the Kings, and it's changed. Who's in that second unit has
the
changed.
Energy group.
And yeah, they truly every single game bring it. I think there's been one or two games this season where they've had an off night, but last night at halftime they were outscoring the starting unit 38-21.
Garrett Temple, like, that guy's just a stud. And I don't mean that he's a star, but, like, he's just a stud player. Like, he's a dude that you can ask to do just about anything. I mean, he's solid.
I was thinking about this last night because Doug and Grant were talking about it on the broadcast, about he plays so hard. Mm-hmm. And guys like Garrett Temple get this reputation, like, oh, he just plays so hard. And a lot of times that's a phrase you use for someone that's, oh, they're not.
Right,
you know,
implies that they don't have talent.
Yeah, it's like they're not the most talented guy out there, but, oh, they bring it every night. And you can get behind someone that just plays hard. No, he's a quality player.
Yeah.
He's a quality player. He's shooting extremely well. He plays multiple positions. He plays on both sides of the floor. He had so many steals last night. What did he end up with in terms of steals?
75.
Garrett Temple. He had three
steals. Two of them were complete, like they boshed the fast break. Should have had a bucket at the other end. But he flat out does anything that has to be done for this team to be able to be in a situation. And Dave, I text you last night because that second unit were playing so well. They came from 19 down to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. And then there's a substitution made. And you bring in DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes about the last 6 or 7 minutes of the fourth quarter to close out the game. Mm-hmm. And I get it. DeMarcus is your franchise player. Matt Barnes did not play well last night. He did not play well when he came in. He had a stupid foul.
DeMarcus particularly.
He didn't at all. Matt Barnes had a stupid foul that ended up in a three-point play. He had a technical which ended up in, you know, a free throw. And then you look at DeMarcus Cousins, it's like, yeah, okay, he's your franchise player. You want to put him in the game to close out the game. But he had a horrible game. So the question, though. In a situation like that, when your second unit has absolutely played their asses off and are saving your butt to get you back in this game, do you close out with that unit or do you say, you know what, I got to go to my franchise player?
I think Greg Popovich would have closed out with that second unit. That would be my answer. I think he would have sat Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, LaMarcus Aldridge. He would have sat them mm-hmm. all.
I don't know about that.
You don't think
you don't
so?
Think you'd have one of those guys on
I'm,
the floor?
I'm
well,
saying,
his second unit always had Ginobili.
Yeah,
so.
I'm just saying I don't think he'd hesitate. And maybe this is a long con for Yeager, and I mean that in a good way, where he's trying to figure out the mettle of these guys still to this point. I'll tell you what upsets me about
this
team.
I'd rather lose with your best player on the court than take the chance of losing without him on the court.
I understand that, and I tend to agree with that. The problem with this team, or one of the myriad of problems I have with this team, Is it? They're like the dorky, nerdy, stupid, angry high school kid, right? Who gets a new pair of shades and the next day immediately starts like he has his collar up and he just starts spitting game at all the ladies who look at him when he passes by and go, dude, what are you doing? Like this team makes the mistake of thinking they're good and that they can have a team like Miami come in and just step on the gas in the fourth quarter like a Cavs or Warriors or well, Spurs wouldn't do that. And they're not. They're not that good. Every game like this, they should be taking it as the seventh game of the freaking NBA Finals, and they don't because they're cocky and weird.
The group that got them back into that game, Ty Lawson, Garrett Temple, Aaron Aflalo, Kosta Koufos, and Anthony Tolliver. And I understand when you have to come back from 19 down, it takes a lot of energy to do it.
Yeah.
And you're on the second night of a back-to-back. I get that. Garrett Temple also said, that is a horrible excuse.
Sure it is.
Being fatigued is a horrible excuse. He's like, no one on this team is playing 40 minutes a game. Everyone's playing around 30, 32 max, right?
Yeah.
So, Miami played with eight guys two nights ago.
Exactly. And so I understand, like, okay, maybe you got to make a substitution there in the fourth quarter because it does take a lot of energy to come back from that far. But use DeMarcus and Matt, if that's your choice, to maybe a two-minute, three-minute blow, go back to the guys that had momentum. I don't know. I mean, these are things that it's difficult being in that chair to make those decisions.
Miami was not only shorthanded, but we talk about the second game of back-to-back for the Kings back home, by the way. Fourth game in five nights for Miami, including the second game of back-to-back. It's just a stupid excuse.
NBA schedule's a... You know.
Let's continue this. I'm seeing Dave Yeager get a lot more blame thrown at him for last night than I think I've seen in any game so far this year.
And it's the same thing with players. Darren Collison had a bad night, and we'll someone's like, "Oh, they're
that.
Trash."
We'll talk about that next on the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. Let's continue the Kings talk here. But honestly, hearing Grant and Doug in the afternoon is very entertaining. Doug is still figuring out, obviously, you know, professional basketball player, broadcasting. You heard him on the game last night, the fifth of, I believe, his 10 games this year that he's filling in for Jerry, and Jerry's doing the
It's like wife swap. They're job swapping, you know?
Sure.
They're testing it out so they can see how great their job is, right? Or how bad it is.
Grant and Doug also do the afternoon show. And you know, Doug is in there, and he's doing a great job, and they're still figuring each other out. Well, Doug made the mistake of Doug started talking about the New York Giants. Just a couple of things you don't do with Grant. One of them is talking about the New York football Giants, and here's how that went yesterday.
Man, he came at him too. Doug was just trying to be like funny and pithy, and it went south.
Not funny.
Do you have anything in your house?
Yeah, nope. Moving on. Ark.
Why you gotta come at me like that, man? Right. Why you gotta come at me like that?
Fantastic. Just don't do it.
Oh, you should know better.
But you know the thing with Grant, and I absolutely speak from personal experience. If Grant is doing that to you, he likes you.
He's comfortable with you.
Yes, he's comfortable and he likes you.
Yeah.
As somebody who's... We need to save those. We need to save those sounders. We should just cut those. We need a damn Grant, and we need a why you want to come at me like that. Oh, Nate.
We can add that one to let Mama wear what she wants to wear.
Yes. We actually need a Doug soundboard is really what we need.
Yeah.
We just need a whole page of Christie-isms.
He's starting to get comfortable in doing the color, and it's totally different from doing the studio, which he's also new to. I mean, he's really only been doing that for a little over a year. But he's starting to get – Jerry is freaking, you know, all-star level. Like, he's got his little, like, you know – sayings that when things happen for certain players and whatnot. Doug's starting to get some of his own. And one of my favorites is it's opening night at the Apollo. and I'll come back to that show. Like that.
Right.
At the Aflalo.
At the Aflalo.
At the Aflalo. Sorry. Wait. Sorry. It's,
you're no Doug Christie.
It's still 7 o'clock. It's still
wait,
not 7 o'clock.
You don't like That's the Law, Son?
That's the other fantastic. One. That's the Law, Son.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. Here's the thing, and I don't think we address
so he's
this yet.
Getting them, yeah.
And I'll happily address this because every time Doug does a game, by the
people
way,
freak out.
Doug fell to 4-1 last night. Suffered his first loss as
Doug
this year, color commentator. So everyone knows Doug's our guy. Doug's our guy. I love Doug. Doug is one of my favorite people in the world. I think he does a great job at pretty much anything he does: basketball, analysis, whatever. I always get asked when that happens, mm-hmm. like, "Well, hey, what's going on with Jerry?" Here's what I do know. Doug's doing 10 games this year. Doug did a few games last year. And
but he did a three-man booth last year,
sure.
which is really difficult. So I think that's why.
But then when it comes to Jerry, and I just there's no way to get into it without somebody taking it the wrong way. And I keep prefacing this by saying I love Doug. I think Doug does a great job, and I think Doug would do a phenomenal job. Here's where I stand when it comes to our announcers, okay? Just so everyone's clear. I feel like our announcers all have tenure as if they were professors.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that are horrible with this franchise, especially over the last decade. But let's be honest, if you're a Kings fan since 85, it's been mostly horrible with sprinkles of awesome, okay? But the consistency is in the announcing teams. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing you can rely on to know that day in and day out, you're going to get quality. And if Grant has a bad call, he's like the Garrett Temple of announcing. Same thing with G-Man. They might screw something up every once in a while, but damn it, it's not from lack of effort or preparation. Nobody's perfect. They're fantastic. They're regularly referred to nationally as some of the best announcers. So when you look at like the success level of this franchise on the floor through the years, and you compare it to the quality of the broadcast team, they're incomparable mm-hmm. as to how much better the broadcasting team is than the performance. So as far as for me personally and my taste, and feel free to disagree, the day that Gary Gerald or Jerry Reynolds are not on the calls, there are only two acceptable ways for that to happen. A, they decide they want to retire. They're done. They're going to go off and take cruises or something. That's number one. Number two, I don't want to mention it because I'm superstitious, mm-hmm. but let's just say it would be an involuntary leaving not only of the job, but perhaps, you know, life in general. In other words, I'm saying unless they quit or die, every single member of the Grant, Jerry, Gary, it's theirs. That to me is what it is. Katie, you're okay too. But
I was waiting for that to happen.
You know, that to me, I'm so in love with our announcing. And how great is it that you got a guy in Doug who jumps right in? And it's not just a testament to Doug. It's a testament to Grant and the crew behind the mm-hmm. scenes and everybody to make him feel that comfortable and have him. It's almost like having the Tony Romo, Dak Prescott problem. Mm-hmm. It's a great problem to have when you've got so much talent. I enjoy it. I enjoy Doug as a changeup. But for me,
You're so conditioned to hearing the same group.
And the thing about them too is that they're so like they have such a good understanding of how less is more on a television broadcast.
Yes.
And Jerry, this is, I don't mean this to sound bad, but I'm going to do the sports radio thing and walk it back. Like Jerry doesn't make you think too much, right? Like he's not going to sit there and try to overblow you with analysis that is really pointless.
Like
he's not going to try to impress you. He's going to sit there. He's going to tell you what he sees. He's going to offer analysis here and there. He's going to say some funny stuff. It's an easy listen.
Now, you make such a great point. Anybody who's ever sat down and had a 5-minute conversation or more with Jerry Reynolds about basketball knows that the guy is an Einstein mm-hmm. when it comes to basketball. He comes off bumpkin-y on purpose. The guy's a freaking
he's self-deprecating. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with Jerry Reynolds. What makes him such a great broadcaster is that he is in check with himself and his ego. He doesn't need to come on and be like, well, you set the flare screen across the pick and then you hedge. No, he understands that there's 9-year-olds watching the game. So he'll explain what's going on, but he doesn't need to blow you away and let you know how intelligent he is and how smart he is. Talk to him off the air. Dude, the guy is, like I said, he's Einstein. He's the Rain Man of basketball.
His one-liners are the best. I mean, my favorite all-time is last year they come out against Phoenix. First possession of the second half, they get a shot clock violation. And Rajon Rondo dribbled out, like, most of the shot clock, and then he got it to, I think, Ben McLemore, threw up a terrible shot or something. And Grant just goes, wow, how does that happen? And Jerry goes,
Well, it starts with about 23 seconds of dribbling.
Which is great. And it's so perfect because, you know, because 90% of the other broadcast teams, the analyst is going to be like, well, you know, honestly, the defense came up and they built the screen and this and that.
Or be
that.
Like, well, you got to do a better job of cutting and getting some action. And
how many times will something, it happened the
that
other
had
day.
Me rolling.
Somebody went up, it was in the Denver game. I forget who it was that shot the shot, but let's say it was like Phil Johnson. I'm just throwing a random name. It wasn't Phil Johnson. He's a coach. But Phil Johnson with the three footer. And then Grant just goes, ugh. And there was silence. And that says all you need to know about the play. Phil Johnson. We'll take a break. Let's come back. Let's get back into Kings and Heat.
Our
game
listeners
specific.
Are like, ugh.
I'm a huge fan of them, if I haven't made that clear. And I very much appreciate how easy they all make that job look. And it is far from easy. Nope. Kings Heat next. Don't go away. We'll take your phone calls at 339-1140. Down territory at 717. Darren Collison at 830. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.